chapter 4, John chapter 4, and I'm going to read quite a bit from there because I just want us to see all of this whole story so we can go from there. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel around that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith to her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now, I read all that because I wanted to get us to the point to where the woman goes into the city after she's been around Jesus. And notice she goes to the men. Well, you know, there might be a reason for that. She was probably more familiar with the men because she's had five husbands and living with a man now. But she goes into the city, and she goes to the men, and she says something, Come see a man. Come see a man. See, here's what you and I need to be doing. We need to be seeking after Jesus Christ, the man. Once the Lord spoke to her, once the Lord ministered her, once He told her about her family life, about her past, she said, I perceive you're a prophet. She knew that he was of God, and so she went into the city, had them come out, and get the men to come out, get the people to come out, and she said, Come see a man that told me all things I ever did. Can I tell you something? God knows everything that you have ever done. It's not hidden from the Lord. Amen. So sometimes we try to act like we're this or we're that, but we're not. God knows everything that we ever done. But you know, the wonderful thing about God is that even though He knows, He still loves us and gave His Son for a sacrifice for our sins. Isn't that good news? That even though God knows how bad we've been, even though God knows the things we've done, He still loves us enough and loved us enough to send His Son to be a sacrifice in our place. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice that. God so loved the world. That's every person. It don't matter how bad they are. Come on now. There's some bad people out here in this world. There's some mean people out here in the world. There's some crazy people out in the world. But God allowed Jesus Christ to die for them because He loves them too. Think about that for a minute. He loves them too. You see, those people that are that way, they've just allowed the enemy to drag them away. And that spirit of Antichrist and the devil, that's the thing causing them to be the way they are. Else you and I'd be just like them. But we chose the Lord. We chose God's Spirit versus choosing the world. So it says that Jesus loved the world enough to give His life for them. God loved us enough to give Jesus. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 9 says, "Much more then, now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." God loved us enough to let Jesus Christ come and die for this. And that's the thing I want you to see today, is that God gave us Jesus Christ. And He is the only way we can get to heaven. He's the only way. There is no other way. You don't listen to Oprah. You don't listen to movie stars and all those and anybody else that tells you there's some other way to get to heaven. There's only one way that you get to heaven, and that's through and by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because He's the one that died on a cross for us. He's the one that shed His blood for us. Amen. He's the one that became sin for us that we could be made the righteousness of God. So a lot of folks, you know, they're trying to work their way into heaven or whatever they're doing, but it don't work. There's only one way in. In Romans 3:23 it says, "For all have sinned." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So see, here's the thing. Sometimes folks, you know, yeah, you see folks maybe kind of act like they're better than somebody else. But you know what? We all came from the same place. We all have the same background. We were all sinners. I've said this many times. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves where we came from. Sometimes we see some folks and we're thinking, you know, there ain't no hope for them. But if there was hope for us, there's hope for them. See, because they're where we were and they can be where we are. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all sin. All sin is forgiven through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. So even though we all had a start in the same place, now here's the thing. Where you end up and how you get there is up to you. God allows you to live out your life because you have a free will, and He allows you to choose whether you're going to stay with Him, stay with the Word, or whether you're going to go with the world and what the world's doing. I got news for you. The world doesn't have anything for you. The world can't get you to heaven. So even though we come from the same place, we realize that we have a better place that we can go to. Now, when you think about this, I kind of think of it like this. When it says that, you know, for all have sinned, we were all born innocent. Okay? You were born innocent, but you had a sin nature. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, I mean, I personally believe that, you know, children, till they get to a certain age, and then there is no such thing as an age of accountability now. We preached on those things before, but they, you know, when I got to study and found out they wouldn't, nothing like that. I do believe there's an age that every person comes to the realization that they need God in their life. But until that time, I think children are innocent. So we're born innocent, but we have that sin nature. And that causes us to gravitate towards sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. See, that's what released sin into the earth. And because of that, everything born on the earth from that point on is born with that sin nature. Nobody teaches you to lie. You just can. Right? Come on, just young folk will lie. Right? Children lie. They're just little innocent little children. Why? Because that's in their nature to do. I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know, we're kind of like sea turtles. Anybody know anything about sea turtles? Sea turtles come out of the sea, and they lay their eggs out on the land. Okay? When those turtles hatch out in the ground, you know the first thing they do? They gravitate to water. They head for the sea. Why? Because that's in their nature to get into the sea. And see, that's kind of the way we are. It's in our nature to get over into sin. We just automatically do that. But thank God, He knew what was happening to us, and He sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ. You see? And so God knew, He knew you when He formed you in the belly of the womb. And so God knew that you were going to need a Savior. God knew that in your nature, because of the fall of man, that you would gravitate that way. And see, here's the thing. A lot of folks think, well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm just as good as somebody else. I'm going to heaven. But see, it's not about being a good person. It's not about doing good things in church or good things for the church. Thank God for people that do that. But none of that will get you to heaven. Going to church won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. You have to be born again. You have to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him Lord. See, sometimes we get that all messed up and think maybe it's just something we can do, but there's nothing that we can do, okay? Now just let me show you this over here. In John chapter 3, if you want to jump over there with me, John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Pharisees, and he goes to Jesus here, and it says, there was a man of Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, Nicodemus, he's confused because the Lord Jesus is telling him he's got to be born again. And he starts thinking immediately in the natural. You know, can a man be born again after he's old? Can he go? And the Lord begins then to show him, listen, this is something that you don't see with your natural eye, but it still takes place. You see, that's the reason he used the example of the wind. He said, when the wind blows, you can't see the wind. But you know it's blowing because it's moving things around. And so he's trying to explain to him that the born-again experience is just not something you see with your natural eye. See, I can't see you born again. All I can do is go by your confession that you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. See, sometimes when we talk about born again and that kind, we're just like Nicodemus. We struggle with that statement. But being born again just simply means that you're believing what Jesus did through His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. When you believe that and confess Him as Lord of your life, then you get born again. In other words, the old person dies, the person you were, that dies, and you become a new person now in Christ. Amen. The Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. In other words, when you get born again, you're not going to gravitate now to those things that you used to do in the world that were wrong and that were sinful that you knew were. You're going to start now wanting to serve the Lord. You're going to want to go after Him. You're going to want to be in His house with His people. You're going to want to do the things that you know are right. You're going to want to do the things that glorify God. Amen. Now that doesn't happen just, you know, you're not just jumping in there. Oh man, I got... No, that it's a growing process. It's a growing process. We grow in Christ. That's why it's so important that we come to church. It's why it's so important that we pray. It's why it's so important that we spend time in the Word, because we need to grow up. One writer talks about the fact that, I believe it was Paul, said, you know, you're still on milk and you need to be on meat. But he said, you can't handle the meat yet because you're still murmuring and arguing and you're still trying to act like children. But I need you to grow up and get over on the meat. What's he talking about? I need you to mature up so that you'll be able to help other people. Come on, listen, you can't help nobody if you're all the time having to have help yourself. Amen. You need every one of us. God wants us to grow up in Christ so that we're all part of the body functioning the way we're supposed to. Right? Come on. Every person that's born again is part of the body of Christ. So when we get born again now, that's that experience of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our sacrifice. Now, we start living for Him because He's paid the price. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you something there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Ephesians 4:21 says this: if so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation. And just let me tell you, that word conversation is not talking about your mouth. It's talking about your life. If you look that up in the Greek there. Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice that. He says here that you and I can put off the old man. Well, we do that again by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we put on the new man. Now, when you get born again, you can call it saved or you can call it receiving salvation, however you want to say it. But when you get born again, your inner man gets recreated. It becomes new. But our flesh on the outside, our fleshly body, that doesn't get renewed. That's what you do with the Word of God. When it talks about renewed in the spirit of your mind, it's talking about you and I getting into the Word, following after God, learning about God, growing in His will. And as we do that, then because of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, then we'll start changing on the outside. I don't mean I'm going to grow hair back. I wish it did, but it don't. Right? It's not talking about physical features. It's talking about the person, your conversation, your lifestyle, the kind of person you are. You begin to become Christ-like. Now I'm acting more like Jesus than I am the devil. Come on, most of us have had that in our life where we were acting like the devil. Some folks have been better than others, but, you know, some have been worse than others. But once you start growing in Christ, the new man on the outside begins to show. You'll watch the way you talk, right? I'd never realized, you know, that I said words that really probably shouldn't be saying as a child of God until, you know, the Lord started convicting me about some of it. You know, it wasn't that it was curse words. I wouldn't blaspheme the name of the Lord, but I was just saying words that, you know, just didn't sound becoming of a Christian. And I see that was just me. Maybe that doesn't, you know, I'm just talking about me now. Okay. So you can't get mad because I'm talking about me. But then the Lord just began to show me some things. He began to show me there's some things you shouldn't be watching. There's some things you shouldn't be listening to. What was God done? Through His Word, He was maturing me to help me to become more like Him. To live that holy lifestyle. Now see, here's the thing about it. A lot of folks, when you talk about a holy lifestyle, they start thinking, oh yeah, you can't have any fun and be a Christian. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm having a ball. I'm enjoying my life, and you can too. Now, you can't get over in all this stupid sin that the world gets into, but you can still have fun. Matter of fact, it's a whole lot more fun knowing that when I lay my head on my pillow at night, if I don't wake up here on this earth, I'm going to be looking at Jesus. You talk about enjoying your life. Come on now. Amen. You see, so I am enjoying living the Christian life, and you can too. But you must be born again and able to do that. So you grow in Christ, you start maturing, and the Word on the inside of you causes you to grow on the outside. So you're putting off the old man, and you're putting on the new man through the Word of God. So now, we've talked about this born again. We've talked about, you know, giving our life to the Lord Jesus. But can we just break it down and just make it real simple and just say this? Because, you know, when you say sometimes born again or getting saved, you know, and there's some folks that would say, you know, where are you getting saved from? Right? What do you mean born again? What are you talking about? Well, what we're talking about here, folks, is we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. Right? So the best way we could say about how do we get born again or how do we keep from going to hell, because to do nothing means we're on that path to hell. You see, because the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, took our sins upon Him, was placed in that tomb, and on the third day He rose again. When He did that, He made a way for all humanity. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He made a way for all humanity to be able to go to heaven. Now, see, that's not automatic, though. Amen. It didn't happen automatically to everybody. What He did was He made a way so that you could choose who you were going to serve. So that you could choose what you were going to do. Joshua said, you know, he's talking to the people as he's leading them. He says, choose you this day who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. See, he made a choice. And that's the problem with the world today, is they don't want to make that choice. They don't like the thoughts of surrendering themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible teaches us that there's not another name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved except through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to be saved from hell, because that's the direction the world's going in because of the sin in the garden, if we want to be saved from that destruction, that hell, that everlasting fire, the outer darkness, the place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. A lot of people don't preach on hell anymore, but it's real, just as sure as heaven's real. If you want to be saved from that, then you must be born again. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because He paid the price for you. And your part is to receive what He's done for you. Well, how in the world do I do that? Well, go over with me to Romans chapter 10 and let's just read and see what the Bible says. See, I grew up, you know, around folks that, you know, they didn't necessarily teach the Word as much as they did pass down what they had heard. You know, now a lot of it was real good, and a lot of it was just stuff that somebody else had said that wasn't in the Word. You know, a lot of, it's sad to say that, you know, through my upbringing, especially back, you know, several years ago before, you know, all the internet and all the Bibles out there and everywhere else, it was basically, you know, you go into churches and there'd just be a big Bible up on the pulpit and, you know, nobody wasn't reading Bibles. Nobody knew what the Bible said, and then just what the preacher said, that's all it went. Well, now, thank God, I believe we can trust preachers, but, you know, sometimes preachers can be wrong. I have been wrong before. It's hard for me to admit that, but I have. But the Word corrected me. You see, but you would hear things and about people about getting saved, and what it was basically a lot of times was what people, their testimony of how they got saved. You know, and I know God deals with people differently, but just because you did this or this or this in order to get saved or thought you had to, doesn't mean somebody else has to. Come on, I can remember one of my uncles talking about the fact that he said, I was a seeking after the Lord, trying to get saved, you know. He said, and I walked in there, and he said, there laid a pack of cigarettes, and he said, the Lord said, how are you going to get saved? And you're smoking them cigarettes. Well, you know, that wasn't the Lord. That was the enemy trying to keep him from getting saved. Because cigarettes won't keep you from going to heaven. Come on, now they're not good for your body. But neither is you know, ice cream or chocolate or, right? Come on, anything you abuse, I'm talking about me now, okay? I'm not a cigaretter, but I sure am a sugarer. It's sad, isn't it? I haven't had any sugar since Wednesday. I'll take that back. One little bite she made me take this morning. She said, "You've got a taste of this before anybody else tastes this, if it's any good." It was hard, but I did it. trying to stay. She said, "You mean you tell me you're not going to any of those desserts out there today?" I said, "Nope." She just looks at me. Because that's out of my character. I want you to know that. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is those are not things that will keep you out of heaven. You don't have to jump through hoops for God to get to heaven. There's not, you know, this, do that, and this, you got to do that. No, no. Jesus has already done everything that has to be done about you getting to heaven. He's already paid the price for sin. But yet, there is something that you have to do. And I want to show it to you here in Romans 10. If you want to jump over there with me, Romans chapter 10. Listen to what it says. Verse 8, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Look how simple. You wouldn't even be here today if you didn't already believe that. If I didn't believe Jesus Christ had died for my sin, placed in the tomb, rose on the third day, I wouldn't go to church. Because I'd think that's false, and I'd think that church is false. But we believe that. That's why we're here. And he goes on and he says this here, if you want to look at verse 10. It says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." So what Paul's trying to tell us here is simply, all you have to do is believe what the Bible says that Jesus did for you and make Him Lord of your life. You simply say, "God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was died on a cross, was placed in the tomb, and on the third day He rose again, and I make Him Lord of my life right now." You're saved if you do that. All you got to do is tell us, "I just did what the Bible said." Now, Pastor Mike, no, You got to feel something. If you don't feel it, it ain't good. It ain't there if you don't feel it. Well, okay. I've got a few minutes. Show that to me in the Word. Show me where the Bible says that. Now, I thank God for, you know, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. I love it when them Holy Ghost goosebumps is going up my back. I love it when He just gets on me so much, I just shout and praise God. And I love it. I love it when I break down and cry. The Spirit of God just humbles me. And I love the emotions that go along with serving God. But emotions ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. Because you know as well as I do, these days you don't feel like you're saved. I'm sure Stephanie was probably struggling a little bit when she was kicking the door facing, don't you? She probably didn't feel real saved right then. But it didn't change her confession that Jesus was her Lord. Did she mess up? Sure she messed up. Yeah, you know. We've all been there and done that from time to time. You know, something aggravate us, frustrate us, or whatever, you know. Thank God that doesn't cause us not to be saved anymore. That's just one of those things when you need to go to the Lord and say, "I didn't act like I should. Lord, I ask you to forgive me." But to be saved, you just believe that He died and was placed in the tomb on the third day He rose again. And confess Him as your Lord. Now, you know, I grew up, everybody said, "Well, you've got to come up there up front and confess Him in front of everybody." The Bible don't say you've got to confess Him in front of everybody. It just says you've got to confess Him as your Lord. Now, I believe once you do that, you're going to want to tell people, "Hey, I made Jesus Christ Lord of my life. I got saved. Come on." I believe that'll happen. But you see, sometimes we've been taught and told the wrong things just because it's been passed down, and it's by well-meaning people. They weren't trying to deter us. They weren't trying to keep us from getting saved. But you know, in the past, it seems like Christianity's kind of been a secret society. We've been kind of undercover Christians, you know, and people talk about, you know, they get around people, they whisper. You hear about so-and-so getting saved the other day? Yeah, I heard about that. That's good. No, you ought to be shouting that. Did you hear? So-and-so got saved. Praise God. They're on their way to heaven with the rest of us. Hallelujah. See, the world's loud and the Christians are quiet. It's time for us to turn that around. And Christians start being loud and letting the world know, hey, we're here to represent the kingdom of God. But you got to get into the kingdom of God before you can represent the kingdom of God. And you do that by being born again. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me. Bow your heads. We're going to pray. Father, I just ask you to help us now, Father God, to open our hearts and our eyes to you, Father God, to know that Jesus Christ is your Son and that He did die on a cross for our sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He paid the price for us so that we could be in heaven with you someday. Father, I ask you to help us, Lord God, to just be mindful of that at all times, of the price that Jesus paid with His life so our sins could be forgiven. And I pray, Lord, today that for those here that don't know you as their personal Savior, God, that today's the day they'll say, you know what, I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life. Father, I pray, God, that you, Lord God, will just pour out your love on them right now, Father God. Lord, and just let them know how much they are loved by you and by Jesus, your Son, who died for them. Today, Father God, we give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father God, that these people have honored us. But, Father, it's not about us. It's all about you and who you are. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. We just glorify you this day. Holy Spirit, work as only you can in this place right now. We just magnify you and thank you and praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.